Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's edition of the CF Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. You can check them out online at heartlandflags.com or check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. They have pretty much any kind of flag that you could ever hope for. I'm just here on their website right now. They've got a cool Utah Jazz two-sided NBA garden flag. I don't have a garden, but that would be pretty neat to have. There's just one that I think Tommy Birch would really like with a frog with a turtle on its head.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There's just about everything. Boston Terriers. If you can think of a team, if you can think of any kind of situation,
something with kittens, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Kittens.
I'm not a big cat person, but I mean, I feel like...
Oh, yeah, we've got all kinds of kitten flags.
That'd be adorable.
So, yeah, Heartland Flags is your source for any kind of flag that you could ever hope for. I even just saw Atlanta Thrashers flag, which would now be retro, considering I think they left Atlanta 4 or 5 years ago. But, yeah, Heartland Flags, the sponsor of today's CF podcast, heartlandflags.com. As I said, Tommy Birch is here. What's up, dude?
Not much. How about you?
Pretty good.
This is a historic day.
Yeah, this is our first podcast that we're going to be doing weekly, or at least close to weekly.
Yeah, pretty much weekly. I mean, barring some scheduling difficulties, but
yeah,
I would love to spend more time with you, Jared, so I will make it work.
I figured that once the seasons start again, we'll probably record on Monday.
Sure.
And we can just record at the Jacobson building.
That works perfect then, for me.
Yeah, so that would we'll already be there anyway, so that would work out well. But obviously you work at the Des Moines Register. I should probably mention that. But Chris asked us what the theme of our podcast was going to be, and all we had to tell him was Iowa State sports. So we don't really have a theme. We're just here.
We should ask for suggestions, what people want, although I'm a little terrified what they may come up with. But you know what, we got to get like a cool graphic, like the one, you know.
We're not getting the one like what Adam and Rob had.
No, like the two shades of gray.
Yeah.
No, I don't want that. What's your guy Johnny Illustrated or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I haven't talked with him in a while.
I haven't seen him
on Twitter in a while.
I know. I got to get him to make me something. I've been asking him for like 4 or 5 years. So
he can't come through for you.
We're not going to plug that guy anymore.
Well, we already just have. This is the last time until Tommy gets his graphic.
If I don't get my graphic in a week, it's over.
But yeah, we do need to figure out. We need to figure out a name too. We're coming in here pretty much blind. We're just like, we're going to do this podcast, and then we're just gonna sit down and do it.
But we're men of the people, too. Like, if you speak, we are going to listen. I mean, I was kind of thinking about this as I was showering today. I was in my shower about you.
I was just saying, that's only a little weird. But
I was thinking, like, the easy thing would do to play something off, like, you know, how tall you are and how short I am.
Yeah.
But I'm not that clever.
I feel like we need to enlist like Ted Flint to come up with a name. He's the kind of person I think that could handle this.
This is right up Ted's alley.
Yeah. I know that if we ask people what they want to see from our podcast, they're going to tell us that they want it to be the recruiting pod.
Oh, jeez.
But I think that the recruiting pod is going to be constantly evolving. I don't know that there will be one set host for that one.
Yeah, I mean, as much as, you know, I kind of groaned about it there, but, I mean, man, it's insane how much people love recruiting.
Yeah. And,
I mean, I follow it for my job, but not as closely as you do. I mean, we at the Register, we have guys that are designated for recruiting. I think Cuellar does, you know, football recruiting. Then Cody Goodwin does basketball recruiting. So, you know, at one point I was so much more involved with it. It's insane, you know, because, you know, man, recruiting can just ruin your life as a reporter. I mean,
dude, it really can.
There's so many nights where, you know, I've been like, okay, I'm gonna get into House of Cards season 5 tonight. Mm-hmm. Just get like 10 minutes into that episode. Underwood's getting ready to do some crazy stuff, and then bam.
And bam,
this kicker is committed to Iowa State here. Like, come on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, when Adam and I did On the Trail, it was pretty consistently one of our most listened to podcast. Yep. And that's just, I mean, we're just two guys talking about recruiting, you know. And it's
people want to know what's coming, not what's already there.
Well, that's what C-Dub always says. It's the people care more about what's coming down the pipe sometimes than they do what is already in the program.
Yeah, and I always reference it kind of, it's kind of like the backup quarterback, you know, for a lot of people, you know, they love what's, you know, it's kind of like, let's make a deal.
Yeah.
You know, they see what option number one is, and then they see it like behind door number two. And you always have people pick behind door number two because they're like, oh man, who knows what's behind there? It could be a donkey, or it could be a big screen TV.
The backup quarterback's always the most popular guy on the team.
The infatuation of the unknown is.
I saw Randy say that the backup quarterback job is the most important competition going into fall camp.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of an intriguing – to me, it's an intriguing storyline. I don't think it's the number one competition.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's definitely up there. I mean, I think Randy definitely made some valid points. It's a good battle to watch because, one, we don't have a quarterback – controversy. So we didn't last year either. So we're gonna settle for a backup quarterback, which is still way more entertaining than anything else, especially with what Iowa State has coming up.
You know what's kind of funny about that though? It's like I remember Sam Richardson's going into his senior year. It was like, oh, there's no quarterback controversy, and then halfway through the season, there's quarterback controversy. Going into last year, oh, Joel's the guy. There's no way that he won't be the starting quarterback, and then. There's quarterback controversy three games into the season. It's just like it seems like every year we say there's no quarterback controversy. So maybe that is the most important job.
Yeah, and I mean both those guys
about it that way until just now. But yeah.
And I mean both those guys are intriguing picks. I mean Kyle Kemp is obviously not the sexy choice.
He was a high-level recruit coming out of high school before he went to Oregon State. And
went to Hutchinson Community College.
It's just like – his whole deal was weird because he got to Hutch, I think, kind of at a weird time for him to really get into a position to play. And, I mean, if Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf wanted him at Oregon State, then I believe that he can really spin it. Yeah, he's got talent as a quarterback because those are two guys that I think really know quarterbacks pretty well. But and then, obviously, everybody's been really excited about Zeb Noland. This is something I was talking about with my roommate last night. How do you see the quarterback position shaping up here in the next couple seasons, because obviously they're bringing in some guys that are pretty talented. You think about a guy like Devin Moore. You've got Rial Mitchell coming in the next class after that, or coming in 2018, and then you have Dwan Mathis committed already for 2019. It's like, okay, so Jacob Park, you know for sure, he's 2017, 2018. And then going into 2019, you'll have Zeb Noland as a junior.
Yep.
But then at the same time, you'll have Rial Mitchell as a redshirt freshman. And I think that people are pretty excited about what he's going to be able to do. Plus, you'll have Devin Moore, who's a sophomore. He'll be a redshirt sophomore.
I've always thought Devin Moore might be kind of the odd man out.
That's what I'm kind of thinking as well.
I mean, that was a nice pickup for Iowa State. One, you land a guy in your first night names. I mean, I think that was kind of a signature moment, kind of a move for Iowa State and for Campbell to say, look, we're here, we're recruiting the state, we've got a prize prospect in state, and it matters to us. Now, how much Devin Moore is going to play at Iowa State remains to be seen. But, look, I think every recruiting class, you want to have one quarterback.
Right.
And I think that was something that was missing with Paul Rhodes, too, was, you know, he didn't stack up quarterbacks year by year at times. You know, he'd be like, look, they would pin their hopes on a guy to last two or three years and maybe skip a recruiting class. But, you know, that's the thing Matt Campbell constantly says, you know, competition breeds greatness, and they're going to have tons of competition. To me, what's insane is how quickly they have filled that quarterback room just full of talent now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that cupboard was pretty empty by the time they left there because – you know, by the time Matt Campbell got there, you know, Jacob Park's not there. Grant Rohatch has transferred. Sam Richardson has graduated.
Mm-hmm.
It's
you had
just
Joel Lanning.
Joel Lanning.
Yeah, Joel Lanning was your only scholarship quarterback.
No matter what happened.
Yeah.
Paul Rhodes was actually looking at JUCO quarterback at that point, which does kind of tell you all you need to know about maybe what that staff felt about Joel Lanning as a quarterback too. But here's my thing too. I almost have that weird feeling that something crazy is going to happen to Jacob Park. And, you know, I mean,
better knock on some wood. Yeah. People are going to be pissed now.
Oh, I know. Can you imagine? I mean, it's got all the makings of, you know, Jacob Park getting hurt in like week one or week two of the season. Then what do you do? I mean,
you just put a lot of bad juju out into the air. Tommy Burch, you came right on your first Cyclone Fanatic podcast, and you're just like, oh, yeah, Jacob Park's going to get hurt.
Jacob Park's going to get hit by a bus, and you're going to have to find a new quarterback. He will live, though. He's going to be fine. He's just going to be out for the season. No, I mean, I guess I kind of got that feeling when you had said, you know, and I kind of been thinking about that, too, but, you know, there's been so much hype, so much excitement for Jacob Park because to me, his storyline is just absolutely insane. Think about what he was able to do last year. And this is a dude that got here, in May or June.
June or July.
I mean, that's really late.
Yeah.
And it had not played in a college football game ever. The last football game he had played in was in high school.
Yeah.
So, The Church Rec League, which was insane.
Yeah.
I remember talking to his teammates about how Park showed up and he brought like a legitimate playbook to the Church League. And I said, I hope they won
the title.
That's funny that you say that because I asked him, I was like, you guys had to win it all? And he was like, well, no, I think they got penalized a lot for, you know, probably over celebrating and probably got a little too cocky. I mean, I played as a man that has played some intramural football from time to time. I can vouch for the idea that the most talented team does not always win.
Yeah, you were telling us about your glory days on the DMAC intramural football team.
We were the DMAC intramural football champions, and then we went to the state tournament and just got smoked. I forget who the first team we played. Maybe it was I can't remember. But then the second team we played was full of Drake dudes who were like castaways from the Drake football team. And that was like when Drake football was really good. And we're like, so it's like me and my buddies who are, you know, hungover
playing just for fun,
before. And these guys are running plays, sets, schemes, and just murdering us. And, you know, by the end of the first quarter, we just gave up and resorted to trash talking.
One thing that I think Jacob Park does have to his advantage compared to especially Sam Richardson's senior year.
Some great hair.
Well, yeah, that. But mainly I think that the offensive line is going to be considerably better than it was that season. So I don't think that, you know, I think Sam got beaten down because he got the crap beat out of him for so long.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was by the end of his senior year, middle of his senior year, the line did make some improvements, but I remember thinking when it came with Sam that final season, his mental clock of how soon he had to get rid of the football had gotten so quick and so fast that by the time the line got a little bit better and changed, he didn't readjust. He was so traumatized by how bad the line was that he could never succeed again. He was put in a horrible position. And, you know, looking back on it, it's tough to see just how much Sam got blamed for all those troubles. I mean, there were so many different things. But, yeah, the line – I mean, at one point that offensive line was horacious, and it didn't matter – who was going to be playing quarterback for Iowa State was going to be a problem. Now, I know there are certainly some question marks when it comes to Iowa State's offensive line, but to me, it's not even a big worry. I mean, the defensive line's the biggest question mark, I think, with the team. But I think between some of the pieces that they do have coming back, some of the things that they're bringing in, and the fact that Tom Manning is like the Yoda of offensive lines, I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, and I think that I do think that the difference between this offensive line compared to here the last couple years is that even though there's some guys that are unproven, you know that they had that there's talented guys in the room, you know, and the you think about the Julian Good Jones and Sean Foster, Jake Campos, like those are three guys that you, or I guess not as much Sean Foster, we don't know, but we assume that they can play at a high level based on what that we've been told about them previously. And then we've seen with Julian Good Jones and Jake Campos at different points during their careers. And then when you hear as much about a guy like Ogie, who has, you know, Matt Campbell get every opportunity he gets to talk him up, he'll do it. And then Bryce Meeker too is another guy that they talk about a lot. And I think it's even interesting to hear how often he started to throw Robbie Garcia's name around with when he's talking about that group.
The guy that's bounced between the offensive line and defensive line. Right. I mean, the thing that this offensive line has that probably no offensive line under Paul Rhodes has is substantial depth.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many pieces to the puzzle, and we saw.
Well, and then you added Josh Kniffel too, who is going to come in, and I think will be expected to play right away. And I was listening to I was reading a story by Kevin White from the Omaha World Herald today. He was at Kniffel's signing yesterday at Iowa Western, and he talked to Scott Strohmeyer, and he said Strohmeyer said that he is as prepared to go in and play somewhere as any offensive lineman that they've had at Iowa Western. And that's, I mean, that says a lot because they've had obviously some really, really good teams.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that school has produced some major D1 heavy hitters. And the best thing about him, too, is he's got 3 years.
Yeah. Or, 4 years.
4 years to play three.
Yeah.
So you're not just getting a grad transfer guy. You're getting a guy that is going to stick around for a couple of years. And
right.
Man, the future does look bright with – and then talk about – I mean, look at what they have coming down the road with Trevor Downing, Zach Ross. I don't know about Zach Ross as much, but
– last year's class as well was pretty solid. But I think that this is something we kind of hit on last night on Cyclone Insider, and it's just when you look at that 2019 group and you could have – potentially you could have Julian Good Jones is a senior who's started for four seasons. Bryce Meeker, who has started games for four seasons. You'll have Sean Foster, who at that point will been playing three or four seasons. Josh Kniffel, who could be playing three seasons and four seasons if you consider Iowa Western. And then you've got, like you mentioned, Trevor Downing. You've got these guys that are high-level recruits that people are really excited about in Ames, and it's been a long time since you could look at that group and really see not just the top level. It's like, okay, we've got five guys that we think can be serviceable. You've got five guys, plus you've got guys coming down the pipeline that can be serviceable or better as well.
And elite guys too.
Yeah.
And you combine that with like what we were talking about before with the quarterback play.
Right.
I mean, man, that's a wicked combination right there.
Right.
So,
well,
and then you've got some young running backs too. So,
that's the thing that has me excited about that 2018, 2019 teams is that you look at those groups and there's going to be so many guys that have played so many snaps at Iowa State by the time they get to that point. And as long as none of them get hurt or anything like that, you have to think that if they can continue to develop, you know, that's going to be shaping up to be some pretty good offenses in those couple of years. And I do believe too that if they can have if they can make a bowl game this year, even if they could win five games and be in position to get to a bowl game at the end of the season, I truly believe that those guys will be able to land some elite level recruits.
They're landing some pretty elite guys right now, at least in-state guys.
Well, and I especially think with Manning,
if
he can show that how, you know, another year where they can really make that offensive line better and you can really see the improvement, I would think that they're going to be putting themselves in a good position to
kids want to play for Tom Manning too. I mean, it's getting to a point where his reputation kind of speaks for itself. I mean, look at what he did with that group of offensive linemen last year. You talked about Julian Good Jones, who hadn't played a snap yet. They had to fill that void with J.P. Filbert gone. Mm-hmm. Jake Campos gets hurt. He's done for the year. And that turned into a pretty good, at least very serviceable offensive line last season. Now, wait till Tom Manning gets some legitimate playmakers in there, some guys with real
talent
potential there. You combine that with his coaching, you're going to have some very good offensive lines for a couple of years down the road.
I'm going to take a minute to tell you guys about Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus Live, and it is coming to Ames this Saturday, June 3rd. Direct from sellout shows across the globe, the world's greatest action sports show comes to Ames for the first time ever. Featuring 30 of the world's best athletes in freestyle motocross and BMX, plus insane contraptions launched from the 40-foot-high Nitro Giganta ramp. Coming to Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday, June 3rd. That's this Saturday, Tommy Birch.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the iCubs game, though.
That Crowell told me he'll be there, too.
Crowell will be at the iCubs game?
Yes.
Is he playing?
No. It's I think his buddy's bachelor party or something like that.
Oh,
they're
my goodness.
Going to the iCubs game.
That's probably the toughest part of my job at the iCubs games is there's right next to the press box is the biggest suite. Right next, and that's usually the party suite, and I just have to sit there
and listen to the people party,
watch, and not only listen but watch the greatest times in the world happening, or
at Principal Park,
or look down into the stands on a nice warm sunny day, while I'm just sweating unbelievably, and people are just having a nice refreshing cold beer.
Yeah,
otherwise, the job's
that
great.
That would be rough, dude. That does not sound like very much fun. Well, I mean, it does sound like fun, but not having to look
moments.
at the people having fun would be rough. But so that's on Saturday, June 3rd at Jack Trice Stadium. I think I might go check that out.
That sounds pretty cool. I mean, Travis is kind of a crazy dude in all kinds of different things.
Yeah, you were telling me you met him one time.
Yeah, I came across him one time at the Iowa Speedway. I've done some auto racing coverage in the past, so.
I know the drivers are big fan of you.
I had a nice run in with Danica.
I was
going to
say, especially Danica Patrick.
Yeah, she doesn't like me. Otherwise, one year I was telling the story about this to somebody the other day. Ashley Judd is married to, is it Helio or Dario?
I don't know.
One of them. Whatever.
I don't know.
She's married to another racer.
Okay, yeah.
And a couple years ago, I was out at the Speedway, and whoever it was, her husband, his engine had just crapped out on, like, the first lap, and I got sent out to his garage. Uh-huh. I'm like, go talk to him. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll go. And I go running out there, and him and Ashley Judd like slip out a side door to the garage. They weren't like ducking me. They were just going out. And I chased them down. I yell like, I can't remember if it was Helio or Dario, whatever. But I like yell his name. I'm like, hey. Yes. And he sees me and turns around. Ashley Judd turns around too, and I'm like, I'm a reporter. I'm like throwing up my press pass.
It's Dario.
Dario
looks like they got divorced though.
They did.
It says 2013. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, shows how out of the loop I am. But they were still together at this point, and they're like they're walking side by side together, to I don't even know where out noon. I'm like waving my press pass in there so they don't think I'm just some crazy fan.
Yeah.
Just a crazy reporter. And they look at me and they're like, come on. And she like waves me up there. So I'm like sandwiched between him and Ashley Judd, just interviewing him for like 5 minutes. And it was the most bizarre situation. I was hoping like somebody I knew would walk by and just soak in the scene and just be like, yeah, I'm with them.
That's funny. Yeah, that man, that'd be big time.
Yeah. That's the cool.
Didn't she came to Des Moines when Kentucky was here, didn't she?
I don't know if she did. I remember Carl Anthony Towns did. Somebody else. I would bet she did.
We need to get Carl down to Des Moines for an Iowa Wolves game.
Yeah. That. I mean, I heard Thibodeau say.
Are you gonna get? Are you gonna get back on the Wolves beat now
the
that
the G League?
Yeah.
Because it's not the D League.
Yeah.
It is the Gatorade League.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was actually fun. You know, it was pretty cool covering those games. I saw, but Tibbs said on the news that they want to get an NBA preseason game down here, which would be awesome. I mean, there are a ton of Timberwolves fans here. It's an NBA preseason game down at Wells is so cool. I covered the game when it was the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. And
that was one. I remember Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune and I. This is a great little story. Hines and I we got Steph Curry in the hallway. It's just Hines and I talking to him. And I remember, like, nobody else wanted to talk to Steph Curry. Everybody wanted to talk to Harrison Barnes. So we're kind of asking him some questions, and I go to Steph. I go, "Is it a little weird that nobody wants to talk to you, that all the attention's going to Harrison?" And he goes, "I love it." just looks at us in the creepiest way and says, "I love it." And it was insane. But the fanfare that came with an NBA preseason, what do you think of the logo? I thought the logo was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty slick. I'm interested to see what their uniforms look like. I think that'll be I might have to acquire some Iowa Wolves apparel.
It is really cool stuff. I want to know what's going to happen to Serge.
I became exponentially more interested in the team now that they've changed affiliations.
Yeah, now that that's an actual local affiliation. Before, when it was the Grizzlies, I mean, to me, the most exciting part of that was Justin Timberlake was like a big Grizzlies fan. You know,
I think he's part owner of the Grizzlies.
He might be, yeah. And I was like, maybe JT's going to come down to Des Moines or something like that. But, I mean, there was just, one, there's just not much excitement when it came to that team.
Right.
And two, just, you know, there aren't many Memphis Grizzlies fans around Des Moines. I think a lot of people kind of jumped on the bandwagon when they got the affiliation.
Yeah.
Naturally, there are a lot of Timberwolves fans in Iowa.
It just makes a lot more sense for them to be with the Timberwolves. But
exactly.
Now that we've gone on our NBA D League rant here for 5 minutes.
I mean, that's what people need to expect.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go off
on tangents. Yeah. That, especially during the off season, because there's just not that much to – we only have – I think we can only talk about the Iowa State offensive line so much.
Yeah, we didn't hit on the backup quarterback. Who
we started. We started there and then went way different from that. But
my gut tells me it's going to be I would say if something happens within the first four games of the season to Jacob Park, Kyle Kemp might be the guy.
I actually would say, stay woke on this. If Jacob Park is out for an extended period of time, I would not be overly surprised if Joel Anning moved back to quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah.
But
stay woke on that.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, I think that either one of those guys would be able to handle it. Like, I don't think that would be the problem. I think that would probably be the move. That seems like the logical move to me, I guess, if nothing else. But unless he's like gonna win the butt kiss award or something at linebacker.
Which I think Joel's gonna do a fine job there, but still you just have no idea.
Right.
I mean, even the spring game was a little deceiving because he knows exactly what's going on. He even told us. I remember Park telling us that he would call audibles and he would look across the line and Lanning would be like standing there like grinning like,
yeah,
I know what's going on. It's, to me, the true test is going to be when he's thrown out into the fire that first game. I think he's going to do all right.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine.
But that, to me, that's actually the D-line's the biggest question. And then the linebacker position, that's a genuine concern. When you're throwing your starting quarterback from a season ago into that linebacker spot.
Right.
I mean, it does say something about what a good, you know, athlete Joel Lanning is,
yeah,
but it also says a lot about the talent that they have in that room.
I do like the Regan Northrup and Willie Harvey combination.
Yeah.
I think that those guys are going to be getting them into a position where they can play the Will linebacker.
Yep.
Well, I think will be good for them because it's that's a little bit more just react.
Yeah, it's all natural. Yeah. And Willie Harvey seems like a very smart football player,
yeah,
too. And, I mean, that dude's like all muscle.
I honestly think the second safety spot opposite Kamari Kotamoya is the one that is the bigger question mark to me.
Yeah,
I'd say it's the defensive line and then that one. are my two biggest question marks.
Yeah, and even Kamari's spot to a certain degree, because how many games can you really pencil in Kamari for?
Right. I mean, he's been hurt every year.
It's been a long time since he's played. I don't think he's actually played a full season.
Well, and I think that's the big hit on him too for NFL people, is that they want to see him play a full season and not get hurt.
Yeah,
you know.
And no matter
what, or not miss four games or whatever he's had to do.
Yeah,
sometimes.
No matter what's going to happen this season, I think that's always going to be looming over him, just because it's been so many injuries. I'm sure a lot of teams kind of look at it like, wow, that's already a lot of miles put on that car and a lot of wear and tear. What can he do for how long with us?
It's crazy how that guy has never had – seems like he's always had something go wrong for him. Like that first game that he played in, he comes in and he gets
targeting.
Called for targeting in the first quarter and gets ejected, and then
has to sit out.
Had to sit out some more of it the next game or something, and then got hurt, and then got hurt again, and got hurt again. It just was like one thing after another. There's the day when he had to, when he got knocked out, I think at
practice, and they took him. He was hospitalized.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounded scary. Yeah. I mean, I remember talking to people right after that, who were like, they thought he may have been paralyzed. It was that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, his body's been through a lot. And that's the tough thing is, remember talking to Kamari at Big 12 Media Day about how he's put so much time and effort into eating right, training right, preparing right. And then all it takes is one hit to just mess everything up.
Right.
I mean, by all accounts, he's at least putting in the work to put himself in a position to succeed, and he has all his natural raw ability. I mean that's a guy that was shot too before he even got to Iowa State.
This guy's had some bad luck, dude.
Bakersfield, California has had some bad luck when it comes to Iowa State, because between
him and Sheldon Crony.
Yeah, I think actually Dale Pearson from Bakersfield.
Yeah, I think so.
So
he went to junior college, though.
Yeah, so he might be the only one, but yeah, I mean, Cotton Moya's story is just insane.
There's another guy on the team. Isn't – I want to say Lawrence White's from Bakersfield?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, Bakersfield, those guys have had some interesting experiences surrounding their Iowa State career. But
it sounds like Crony might actually get some playing time this year. I mean, that was a guy – who I remember thinking, like, okay, it's just a matter of time before
he transfers or something.
He's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he had fallen so far off the depth chart and so far out of mind that you're like, he's just never going to play. And usually, I think you can probably vouch for this too, when Matt Campbell brings up a guy, when he talks about how well they're doing, that means something.
Yeah.
He's not saying that.
He doesn't it's not a Bob Graham situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, Bob Graham, man. That guy was a legend.
Dude, I just remember that you guys would always talk about, you're like, yeah, it was like every offensive lineman that came in, like even, was that the year Klonakis was there? It was like everybody that came in to talk about the offensive line, they'd bring up Bob Graham. And it's like, then no one ever saw him on the field or anything.
I don't think I ever saw Bob Graham play a game.
Yeah.
But
he was apparently the best fall camp participant.
Player of all time.
Yeah, that ever existed.
Just a goofy looking dude, too. He was entertaining. But
hopefully Bob's not listening.
Yeah, I'm vouching on that. He was a nice dude, I'll say that, too. But Crony,
I would be surprised if he sees the field as the third.
Yeah,
third back.
I think he's like a Mitchell Harger type.
Yeah.
Well, they're different styles of running back. I would say Harger was almost like a fullback, but the same type of role where it's gonna be David Montgomery, it's gonna be Mike Warren,
right,
and then Sheldon Crony.
Which it would have been Kenne, but obviously that probably won't happen.
Yeah,
based
I think he's going to be done for the year.
Yeah,
I mean, they're leaving the door open. I think just because if they say like right now, hey, he's redshirting, he might take a step off the pedal a little bit. You want him motivated. You want him working hard and pushing for something right now.
Definitely. I don't think I have much more to add, do you?
No.
Yeah.
We've done enough damage.
Yeah.
I can't wait to read the threads.
Yeah, I know. They'll just be
this is kind of like,
I think we did good for our first podcast. We got a little off topic, but I mean, We stayed on topic for the most part with it being Iowa State and Iowa stuff, anything.
I might be honest. We killed it.
Yeah.
And anybody else that says otherwise is an idiot.
Whoa. There we go. Keep an eye out today for another Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Chris is going up to the Iowa State football complex to do some interviews with I know for sure he's going to talk to Skip, the director of football operations. I think that there might be a few other special guests involved. They're going to talk a little bit of NBA Finals, get some predictions, and I think that they're probably going to complain about Kevin Durant. That's what I would imagine will happen.
I would imagine so, too. I love Skip, though. That guy is all things Cleveland, man.
Yeah.
I admire his enthusiasm about it.
It's funny. Every time I see Chris now, he talks about Kevin Durant. It's like he hates him so much. He always is talking about him.
Once you end up on Chris's list, it's hard to get off of.
Yeah, yeah, so. For sure. Well, thanks, Tommy.
This was fun.
We'll be back next week. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to Heartland Flags and Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus. Go check that out at Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday. We'll be back later in the week with the Saturday pod. Chris will have the podcast, of course. And I think I'm still going to try and get something together for maybe a CFTV before the week gets over. And just keep an eye out for that. And thanks for listening.